The pleasure this morning of introducing to you all Jeremy Wipke. It's been about a year ago that the Pulpit Search Committee set out on an adventure together to find a pastor and seek God's leading for our church. And after a year of interviews and filtering through candidates, Jeremy had submitted his interest in the position in December, and we had many conversations with Jeremy, and there was a lot of prayer and consideration that went into it, and the Pulpit Search Committee has unanimously voted to put Jeremy before you guys as the recommendation for the next pastor here at Pitcairn. And so just a little background for those of you who were not here and who here last night and who did not get the information sheet on Jeremy. Jeremy grew up in Somerset, PA, so he's local to Western Pennsylvania. He's done work with other churches in our presbytery, with the youth, with Calvin Presbyterian, and with New Life Presbyterian, and he's their associate pastor now. And so give him your ear as he brings God's word to us from Psalm 125 this morning.
Thank you. Thank you, Jared. Jared and the committee has been wonderful to work with. It's been a process of prayer and just asking God what's next, where he's leading us all in this journey of life. And so it's been a joy. If you have your scriptures, I invite you to turn to Psalm 125. If you want to use a pew Bible, it's on page 517. And as you turn there, I just want to say thank you for welcoming myself and Vanessa and my family last night. A wonderful time of fellowship, some wonderful food, and we just would like to express our appreciation for your kindness, your generosity to all of us. It was a wonderful night. And so now it's time to turn our attention to God and see what he has for us this morning, and because we need him. We need him desperately, and he's for us. So let's pray before we get started. Father, we take a moment to lift our minds, our ears, and our hearts to you. Father, I pray that your Spirit would move, that he would do his mighty work of applying the great benefits of Christ to us. Lord, I pray that where there's pride, you would bring that low. Where there's hurt and pain, that you would lift them up. Lord, this is your day as we remember the resurrection, the first day of the week as your church gathers to remember that we have a living hope that is imperishable, undefiled, that no one can take away. And so, Lord, we pray that you'd bless the reading and the preaching of your word to feed your sheep, your people, whom you've purchased through your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his mighty name we pray. Amen. So Psalm 125 says, verses 1 through 5. A song of ascents. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forevermore. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on a land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous stretch out their hands to do wrong. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in their hearts. But those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with evildoers. Peace be upon Israel. In the midst of this service, in the midst of this time, if we would just stop and look around at each other, I wonder what our impressions would be. As I look around, we see people nicely dressed. We see some smiles on their faces, some a little groggy from turning our clocks ahead. But what would we see? What would be our impressions be? Would we have the feeling and the sense that everyone's okay? But if we could peel back the veneer, if we could peel back the layers, look down deep in each other's eyes, I wonder what we'd really see. People all around us are facing struggles and thoughts of various kinds. Perhaps the death of a loved one or death approaching for themselves. People struggle with depression, terror, fear, anxiety, temptations of all kinds. Many have gone through hurtful injustices, painful injustices. And these things mark us all. and Christians are not immune. As Christians, we wrestle against the same corruption in our world and the corruption in our hearts. And the question we ask is, where do we turn to for comfort? Who do we turn for confidence? Some of you may be familiar with the Heidelberg Catechism. Question number one is beautiful. It asks this question. It's a question you could ask anybody to start an evangelistic conversation. What is your only comfort in life and death? What is your only comfort in life and death? And the answer is a long one, but it's beautiful. It says that I am not my own, but I belong body and soul in life and death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood. He has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. And because I belong to him, Christ, by his Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me willing and ready to live for him now and forever. It's a long answer, but it's a beautiful answer, and it's an anchor for our souls. In this world of brokenness, in this world of heartache, in this world of pain and sin, our theme for this morning is place your confidence and your comfort in the Lord Jesus Christ. He surrounds you with his gracious presence, and he's leading away all that is evil in our world. Trust him. He's with you. He's holding you. He will carry you through. We'll focus on 5 points this morning. If you're taking notes, the first one is you can place your confidence and comfort in the Lord because he will cause you to stand firm and endure forever. In verse 1, a song of ascents. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. It's kind of a strange title, Song of Ascents. If you're not familiar with it, there's about 15 psalms that have this heading, this introduction. And many believe it was a psalm that was sung as the Jewish people would gather to Jerusalem. They would come from miles and miles away from wherever they were at in the world at that time to come to worship. They were required to come to worship in Jerusalem at least 3 times in the year. And as they would approach Jerusalem, Jerusalem sits on top of a mountain, on the top of a hill. You can think of it how that was a great vantage point against their enemies. You're on top as the enemies would come up. But you can kind of get in their mind as you're walking and you're hiking and you're down in this valley and you approach Jerusalem and you'd see the city and you would see the temple where God's presence is, and you see this mountain, this hill that the temple rested upon, and in their minds are thinking, look at that mountain. There's nothing or no one who can move that. It can stand and endure forever. If any of you have seen the Rocky Mountains, you know how vast and huge they are with their snow peaks. Maybe some of you have seen the Smoky Mountains, and maybe if you haven't seen those, as a child, you've just seen a massive boulder, right? And you try to see if you're strong enough to move it, and you just press against it with all your might, and you just try to do everything to shove it, and it won't move. As these people are going up to worship, they look at that mountain and say, God's people are like that mountain. They will endure. They will not be moved. Nothing can touch them. We hear echoes of this throughout the Psalms. In Psalm 46, which many of you are familiar with, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. And in verse 5, it says, God is in the midst of her, she will not be moved. And it says it's for those who trust in the Lord. This anchor, this hope, this one of endurance, this one of standing firm, isn't just for everyone, but those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask the question, what is trust? And I sometimes think of it as an analogy that I'm in an airplane, right? And it's going down. And I need something to save me. I see an umbrella or I see a parachute. Which one's going to save me? So when you come to trust Jesus, you have to have the right information. We have a society that believes in many things, many religions that can get us to God, but Jesus makes it clear he is the only way to the Father. So if I want to jump out of the airplane with the umbrella and think it's going to save me, I can do that, but it's not going to save me. So I have the parachute there. I agree that it can save me, it can rescue me, but I can't be saved unless I do what? I got to put it on. It's got to be part of my being, a part of who I am. I just don't believe it intellectually, but I've embraced it and put it on personally. And for you out there, have you done that? Have you personally trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? If so, you will stand. You will endure. This does not mean that storms will not come in your lives, that enemies will not press against you, that you will not face trials. Death will come. But Jesus has overcome. You will endure and persevere because Jesus has conquered the sin. He has conquered the grave. He is the mighty one. We see examples of this in the lives of the people in scriptures. Paul, who was struggling with facing death, he says, "To live is Christ, but to die is gain." He was not moved. If you're familiar with the book of Job, Job had his health, his wealth, his family taken away from him. And he says, "God, though you slay me, I will hope in you." He was not moved. Familiar with Daniel in the lion's den. He was trusting God no matter what. He was not moved. Whatever the struggle, whatever the pain, no, it's just for a season. And eternity is ahead forever. You will stand and endure in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So you can place your confidence and comfort in him. He will cause you to stand. If you want, you can call yourself a mountain. You trust in the Lord, you're like a mountain. No matter what beats against you, no matter how depressed you are, you can endure and walk through it because he's carrying you through. Point two, you can place your confidence and comfort in the Lord Jesus Christ because he surrounds you with his presence. Not only will you stand and endure, but it's because he's with you and he surrounds you. In verse 2, it says, "As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forevermore." If you take a look, I've never had the opportunity to go to Jerusalem, so I looked up a 3D topographical map, cool things on the computer. And if you see a picture of Jerusalem on top of Mount Zion, Jerusalem's there on top of a mountain, but then you have the Mount of Olives on one side, you have the eastern hills and the western hills. It looks like a bodyguard of mountains around Jerusalem. And it's beautiful how the Jewish people and the Hebrews, that they would look at God's creation and use it as analogies to remind them of who their God was. Just the other day when I was driving and I was in the midst of this valley and there's hills on the other side, and just like, wow. God is like these mountains. He is strong. He is bigger than any of my problems. And he surrounds me. And he is with me. I'm not sure how you do wedding receptions around here. One of the crazy things we do up in Somerset is they put the bride in the middle of the floor, and then they put a circle of people around and lock arms. And they put another circle around them and lock arms. And the groomsman has to try to break through the two circles to get to the bride. It's a fun thing to watch. Dangerous at times. Awesome to watch. But they try to protect the bride. They encircle her. They surround her to protect her. And so God is like that with his people. He encircles them. He's with them. He's not a God who is far off out there saying, "Go through life, hope for the best. I'll just watch." But no, he is with you. He doesn't say, "Gather up all kinds of armor and missiles and the biggest army." It's God himself who is with you. Jesus told his disciples as he sent them on the Great Commission, "I am with you always." He told them that he would give him his spirit to dwell in with them, that they would not be left as orphans. We are not alone. The God who made this universe, the God who made the mountains, is with us and around us. again, we ask the question, well, what about during the trials? What about when I or a loved one faces death? Where is God then? We get a picture in the book of Acts where Stephen, who is preaching the gospel, and the crowd becomes hostile to it. They hate the message. And they wanted Stephen stoned, and they started stoning him. And it might seem like he's all alone, but God in his graciousness to Stephen, and I think for the rest of us, pulls back this veil. And as Stephen is getting ready to die, he looks up to heaven and he sees Jesus standing there welcoming him. Welcoming Stephen. Even in death, he's right there welcoming us in victory. For the Christian, those who trust in the Lord, death is victory, putting an end to sin, putting an end to corruption, and our souls are glorified. We are never alone. Though we do not see that he is there, he is there. You can think of the sun, you can think of the moon and the stars on a cloudy day. You can't see them, but they're there. You can't see them, but they're there. And our Lord Jesus Christ is there with us around his people. You put your confidence, your comfort in him. He's with you. He surrounds you. Place your trust in him. Point three, you can put your confidence and comfort in the Lord because he's putting an end to all wickedness. He's putting an end to all wickedness. In verse 3, it says, "For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous stretch out their hands to do wrong." Here's a question for you. Are you tired of the corruption in the land? The nation of Israel felt it ever since the beginning. They wanted a king so bad. They wanted a king so bad to lead them. God said, "I'm your king." They wanted a human king. The nation of Israel, the nation of Judah, there is always corruption in the heart of man that would lead people astray, that would take advantage of the poor, that would harm those who are seeking God. And God says, "I will put an end to that rule. I will put an end to that tyranny. It will be no more." To make it on a more personal level, are you tired of the corruption in your heart? I know I am. As you draw closer and closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the bright shining of his holiness, it will expose things. You're like, "Wow, that was there." But his Spirit is within you. He's destroying sin in your life, and he's making you more and more like Jesus. From the first time you trusted in Jesus till however long you've been, you'll see progress. You will overcome. You won't get perfection in this life, but one day you will. You'll be glorified. He loves you so much, he's not going to let you just the way you are. He wants you to know what it means to live, to really, really love God and to love your neighbor and put an end to the selfishness in your heart. It's painful, but even in our own lives, he is crushing the role of evil in our hearts, and it is wonderful. Put your confidence and comfort in him. He's putting an end to that wickedness and the role of wickedness in our land, in our hearts. Fourth point. You can put your confidence and comfort in him because he does good to the upright in heart. Your God does good. In the first three verses, there's this confidence in the Lord that we will stand, that he is with us, that he surrounds our people, that the role of wickedness will be done with. It'll be out of the world. It'll be out of our lives. That day is approaching. And now there's a request. Lord, do good to those who trust you. Do good. And so we ask the question, who are the good and the upright in heart? And when we look at Scripture, if we get down to the nitty-gritty, we would say there's only one good, right? The Lord Jesus Christ. If I examine my heart long enough in the realms of love, how well I love other people, in the realm of the commandments, I am not good. But what Scripture talks about for those who are good, God's people who are good, who are humble, who are sincere, who know that they're not good, who know that they're not right, but they need someone to save them. When God gave the law, what did he give them when they sinned? The sacrificial system that pointed them to a Savior, that pointed them to Jesus Christ. You see, with the Pharisees, they thought they could be good, right? They did all the right things. They would tithe. They would go to worship. They would fast. They would do all these great things. They thought they were good. And Jesus condemns them. They couldn't see their own sickness, their own need for a Savior. And then Jesus tells the story of the tax collector that comes before the temple and says, "Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me." And Jesus says, it's the tax collectors, the prostitutes, it's those who are real. Those who are sincere and humble before God says, "Yeah, that's me. I need a Savior. I need a Redeemer." And it's to those people that God does good for. When you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you get right with him. He says, "You're my son and daughter. Your sin is completely atoned for. It's forgiven. Guilt is removed. You're with me forever. My spirit is within you. You will be glorified. I'm destroying the wickedness in your heart and the wickedness of the world around us, and you can have peace." Do good to those who do good. Have you examined your heart lately? Have you gotten right with the Lord Jesus Christ and received him as Savior and Lord? Do it. He's making things right, and he will do good to you. And then lastly, you can place your confidence and comfort in him. He's leading away his enemies and your enemies and will give you peace. In verse 5, the psalmist concludes, "But those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with evildoers. Peace be upon Israel." God desires his people to have peace. He desires his land to have peace. He is making a new heavens and earth. We're getting ready to remember Easter, the death and the resurrection, but don't forget the ascension. After the resurrection, our Lord Jesus Christ ascends on the throne, and he's ruling and he's reigning, and even now he's putting his enemies under his feet. Everything that's wrong with us, what's wrong with the world, he's in the process, by the preaching of his word, by his providence of working through creation, he is making things new. That's where your confidence and comfort needs to come from. All the wickedness and all the injustices that have ever been done, justice will be met out. God does not turn a blind eye to wrong, to injustice. Either the Lord Jesus Christ will pay for it as he did on the cross for those who repent, and for those who do not repent, they are part of the wicked that will be destroyed. For rejecting the one who is all good, who is all compassionate, he will lead them away to everlasting destruction. To those who would mock him and mock God's people, Jesus says, there's a day where I exact vengeance, that I'll exact justice. He's a God of goodness and justice. For those who have trusted Christ, know that every sin that you have ever committed, every thought, every deed, past, present, and future, he laid upon his son, Jesus Christ. Think of all your sin, pile it up, and put it on your son, and know justice was met out. And for those who do not trust in Christ, you will have to face that. And there's no confidence and comfort in that. I plead with you, trust in Jesus Christ. He's paid it all. He's dealt with it all. And there will be peace in your heart that no one can take away. There's a new day coming. What is your comfort in life and death? Can you say that I am not my own, but I belong body and soul in life and death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ? If so, know that where there is death of a loved one, there is eternal life. Where there is depression currently, there will be peace. Where there is terror and fear, there can be freedom and courage. Where there is guilt, there can be complete forgiveness. Where there's all kinds of injustice, God will make it right and execute exact judgment. Place your confidence and comfort in the Lord Jesus Christ. He surrounds you with His presence, and He's leading everything away that is wicked and evil in our world. Trust Him. Trust Him this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. There's much that we could dig out of this, but it's good to remember and to reflect a God who is good, a God who is holy, a God who would send His one and only Son to be our substitute, to die in our place, to live a life that we should have lived, to die the death that we deserved, and says, here's this gift. I want you to have peace. I want you to have comfort. I want you to know everything is taken care of, but you have to put Me on like that parachute. I have to be part of your life. So, Lord Spirit, I pray that You would do that even this morning. For those who know You, remind us anew again that when we walk out into this world this next week, we can have Your comfort and confidence. For those who are wrestling, give them Your Spirit. Let them see what You're up to. You're not a God who turns a blind eye, but You have entered the world of corruption and injustice and given Your answer and amen in Jesus Christ to those who trust Him, that it will be done with and paid for. Lord, we thank You and praise You in Jesus' most holy name. Amen.